1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. It was a stunning end to a case that could have sent actor Alec Baldwin to prison for 18 months.
Your motion to dismiss with prejudice is granted.
Actor Alec Baldwin wept as a judge tossed out his case days after the trial started. She agreed with defense attorneys who claimed the prosecution withheld evidence.
They have continued to fail to disclose critical evidence to the defendant.
The evidence was bullets possibly tied to the fatal shooting of a cinematographer on the set of Baldwin's movie Rust. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
The case cannot be refiled against Baldwin. President Biden was back on the campaign trail in Michigan Friday, appearing at a boisterous rally in Detroit and trying to regain lost ground in battleground states. More from Linda Kenyon.
Michael Tyler with the Biden campaign acknowledges the president had some missteps.
Joe Biden has been making gas for 40 years. He made a couple. He'll probably continue to do so. Our opponent is somebody who every single day out on the stump is calling for a bloodbath if he loses, who's pledging to rule as a dictator on day one.
Michigan Representative Debbie Dingell decried.
People look at Donald Trump's rants. The things that he says in these rants are absolutely crazy.
Well, Tyler put it this way.
Two-thirds of voters more concerned about a president who lies than one who is old.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky is also campaigning, hoping to shore up U.S. support as his country fights the Russian invasion.
This is a war where it's absolutely clear what is good and what boundaries. Boundaries evil crosses.
Zelensky spoke in Salt Lake City at the summer meeting of the National Governors Association. He was in the U.S. for the NATO conference in Washington. The Texas man accused of killing a Houston area sheriff's deputy is now charged with capital murder.
24 hours after the blue alert was issued, authorities say 44-year-old Ronald Palmer Jr. was found and taken into custody without incident at a home in northeast Houston. He faces capital murder charges for what Harris County Sheriff Ed Gonzalez described as the ambush of Deputy Fernando Esqueda, a five-year veteran of the force.
Fernando would be very proud at this moment because he was such a cop. He loved good police work.
Esqueda was gunned down tracking Palmer, who was accused of pistol whipping a restaurant employee for getting his order wrong. Chris Fox, 4CBS News, Austin.
The fate of Senator Bob Menendez now lies in the hands of 12 jurors. They began deliberations Friday afternoon in the New Jersey Democrats' bribery trial. What was expected to be a six-week trial will now stretch into its 10th week as the jurors left Friday evening without a verdict. They will return on Monday. Menendez, who has pleaded not guilty, is charged with 16 felony counts. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. People have been seeing the stars at the historic Yerkes Observatory near Lake Geneva for 125 years. Now, it's taking on a whole new meaning. Mark Richardson explains.
After the University of Chicago transferred ownership to the Yerkes Future Foundation in 2020, the venue added poet laureates, Grammy winners, NASA sculptors, Pulitzer Prize-winning authors, and composers and artists to the astronomy program. Walt Chaddick, Yerkes Director of Programs, says people are just beginning to get used to the transition.
Yes, we are doing classic observing. Yes, we're doing research. Yes, we have interns and astrophysicists and astrophotographers on staff. We were kind of become this peculiar center that is connecting astronomy to art.
Located just outside of Milwaukee, the observatory has been in use since 1887 and has been used over the years by astronomers, astrophysicists, and other scientists to explore the cosmos. The grounds include the observatory, laboratories, workshops, and libraries, with walking trails around the grounds 50-acre site. Chaddick says artists have tapped the center's collection of 175,000 photographic glass plates with images of the cosmos.
I've seen people go up to those photographs and go, ugh, modern art. And then they start to read the captions next to the pieces, and they go, whoa, that's the constellation I know.
The observatory has been used by famous scientists such as Albert Michelson, Edwin Hubble, Carl Sagan, and Albert Einstein. The observatory is open to the public Thursdays through Mondays for tours and exhibits. Visiting the grounds is free. Reservations for tours and special events can be made online at yerkesobservatory.org. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Mark Richardson.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight with a low in the low 60s. For the weekend, partly sunny, a few storms, some could be strong, hot and humid with highs upper 80s to 90. After another warm day Monday and a chance of storms, temperatures cool considerably, 70s for highs for the rest of next week. Currently, it's 66.
At Kreitlow.
Monday on Up North News Radio, we'll preview the start of the Republican convention, and the League of Women Voters will give us their take on those constitutional referendums.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I don't know about you all, but every day, during the week of weekdays, I wake up and I think, it's got to be Friday because so much has already happened. No, it's Tuesday.
I mean, it's been Friday for like two months.
Yeah, I think my entire sensibility about time has gotten completely screwed up since COVID.
Like, oh, yeah. Time doesn't exist.
I used to be a lawyer that billed by 6-minute increments, so I had a very keen sense of time.
Yeah.
No longer. I don't have it anymore.
I used to be able to do several things at once and know what time it was and then be ready for the next couple of things. And now I'm lucky. Wait, we're live on the air right now.
Yeah, right.
That's amazing.
Right.
That's crazy.
Right. Today has definitely been like that. I think we need to jump right in. There's so very much is happening, including, of course, the NATO summit, which kicked off today, the focus of which is, of course, Ukraine. But I want to start with what is really minute by minute changing news. And before we get, and that is, you know, Joe Biden, does he stay or does he go? Mika Brzezinski this morning, I usually listen to MSNBC in the morning. She used a really, really great analogy for the way the news is reacting to this. And she called it day trading. Right. She's like, it's basically every media outlet sitting behind their computers or however they're pushing news out, literally breathlessly waiting for the next elected official or the next Democrat or the next Democratic leader to say something about this or for the campaign to say something about this. And I thought that was really apt. And one of the things that, you know, I mentioned yesterday and that I continue to be of a mind about is that no one makes good decisions in a panic. You know, like,
unless you live in a panic so much that you have to be used to
like,
it.
Like, oh, this is this is normal. My brain is used to the flood of chemicals. So I thought the analogy to day trading or reactionary, like, ooh, the stock is ticking down slightly, I should sell and lock in my losses, that we're a little bit in that moment. Now, with that disclaimer said, it's still incredibly important to, again, have the discussion. So there's a lot of sound meaning Democratic leadership talking to the media over the last couple of days because they've been returning to work. They've been on recess. So, again, lots of leadership. And can you imagine this? You go on vacation and you come back and someone is asking you a question that's basically like, well, what's your vote? Do you want to stick with the CEO or potentially just burn the company down? But you don't know. Maybe it works. Maybe you get a better CEO. I mean,
also, hi, welcome back.
Yes. It's a little stressful. Steve from Milwaukee, he's pointing out that Heather Cox Richardson did a really great interview with Christine Amanpour on CNN. I will check that out, Steve. I do read Heather Cox Richardson's Substack very frequently, nearly daily. I will check that out. But for present purposes, let's dive into some of the sound. I'm going to start with Joe Manchin, who's not running for re-election, right? And so to everybody out there, if you hear a Democrat saying he should stay or he should go, the first question that should pop into your head is this person running for re-election? And are they in a state, if they're running for Senate, that is safe? In other words, are they easily going to win re-election or are they facing a tough re-election? Because the pressure is really on those senators and House members that are facing tough re-elections, right, that are in purple states. And there are 23 senators up for re-election. One of them is Wisconsin State Senator Tammy Baldwin. She's been fairly consistent in avoiding talking about this topic, and I get it, right? I get that. And every single member of the House of Representatives is up for election this year. So anytime you hear a Democrat either talking about it or not talking about it, or he should go, he should stay, ask yourself, are they up for election? Every single House member is. Is the senator up for re-election? And is their re-election a tough re-election? Because it impacts how they're viewing this. I mean, it can't help but do that, right? Especially when Joe Biden has an incredibly low approval rating, right? That's that's a consideration if you're running for re-election. Andrew from Maine pointing out on our text line where you too can join us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're talking about Joe Biden, whether he should stay or he should go. We're going to listen to some statements by some Democrats over the last day, some this morning. And Andrew from Maine asking on the text line or pointing out, hey, are these actual Democratic leaders or are these just elected officials trying to get themselves in the news media? There is some cravenness. It's not just the Matt Gaetzes of the world and the Marjorie. There are Democrats that are media hungry. I could use another WH word.
Yeah, but I like those people. They're pretty awesome.
But let's just dive right in. So let's take Joe Manchin's response to this question. Again, Joe is not, Mr. Manchin, not running for re-election. I actually thought he gave a pretty nuanced response. Again, these are gaggles of reporters with their iPhones or Androids out with the voice recorder. So there is background noise because they're literally in the halls of Congress and the corridors and they're echoey and there's tons of reporters around. And if I remember this cut correctly, this one's kind of cute because Joe Manchin is talking and some other lady starts talking and someone goes, shh. So if anything, it's interesting because members of the press corps told one of their own to shut up. Here's Joe Manchin on whether or not Joe Biden should stay in the election or step.
You said give it another week, so are you keeping an open mind?
My thing is to find out what direction that the president is going to go. He's said very clearly what he wants to do and what he will do.
What do you want to see from him?
Well, I think that basically, you know, we'll see. He's very active now and everything. That's good.
There is another one if you can keep looking, Brian. Again, Joe Manchin, I think, taking a pretty nuanced approach. You know, there's arguments pro and con here. Let's keep rolling. Hakeem Jeffries, he is the Democratic minority leader in the House. Let's listen to what Representative Jeffries had to say.
I support President Joe Biden and the Democratic ticket.
Interesting to note, the Congressional Black Caucus, at least the last time I checked the news wires before coming on the air, the Congressional Black Caucus, not a single member of the Congressional Black Caucus has called on Joe Biden to step out of the race. And I think that is remarkable and notable. Let's keep listening here. Let's take Elizabeth. Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Democrat in Michigan. I think this is pretty interesting. I haven't yet had time to talk about this, but she was interviewed by the New York Times a couple weeks ago. And I'm biased because I am a Gen Xer, but and so is Governor Whitmer. But she said to the New York Times that America needs a Gen X president. One of the things that demographically, and then we'll get to the sound from Governor Whitmer, that I think is really fascinating is that Gen X has been basically leapfrogged. Like, there are very few Gen X elected officials out there. Whitmer's one of them. One of the reasons is that by number and by time period, Gen X is a real narrow band compared to other identifiable generations. So there's just fewer of us in number. And frankly, and Joe Biden is an example of this. So is Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell. The oldsters have hung on, like, with white-knuckled fervency to their elected positions. And the oldsters, that set, again, on both the right and the left, you know, their reluctance to pass the torch or think of succession planning is part of the reason that a lot of you don't see a lot of Gen X elected officials.
On top of that, if you remember growing up in the 90s, that was the whole grunge movement where movement. Good job talking. The grunge movement happens where everything is just, oh, it doesn't matter. It's all
there was,
BS
yeah,
anyway. There's a whole malaise
brand,
going on.
Yeah, there's a brand around Gen X that's disaffection. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. If you haven't seen the sort of cultural symbol of Gen Xery, it's the movie Reality Bites with Winona Ryder and Ethan Hawke. Welcome to the Maxi Pad. I'm sure Brian will have some commentary on that. We'll listen to some sound from Governor Whitmer on this question. Of course, you are welcome to join the conversation. I'll keep asking it until we know for sure, certain. Does Joe stay or does he go? I'm Maggie Dawn. He is Fancy Brian Kelly. And we are the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, coming to you live from downtown Waukesha. Don't go anywhere, anybody. And give us a buzz. 855-75-CIVIC. Call and text lines are open. 855-752-4842. We're going to take a couple quick messages and we'll be right back.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Credit scores affect a lot. Mortgages, renting a place, car insurance rates. Some employers even check credit scores before hiring people. So last month, Consumer Reports and Work Money got thousands of people to check their credit reports for errors and tell us what they found. The results were shocking. Almost half of the participants found a mistake on their credit report. That's a lot of mistakes. About a quarter found serious errors that could damage their credit score. And about a third found errors about their personal information, like name or address. So, go to annualcreditreport.com. Get copies of your credit reports. They're free. And take a look at yours. If anything is off, let the credit agency know right away. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're in the don't walk away, Joe, camp. Maybe you think you should go. I want to hear from you. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network statewide through this great place on a couple of great lakes. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Before we took a break, I was queuing up some sound from Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer on this very question. She was on Good Morning America. Let's take a listen.
He has my full support. I'm a co-chair for the Biden-Harris campaign. I have great confidence in this president. He's got receipts. He's delivered for the American people, and I'm glad that he's ready to continue this fight. I respect the conversation that's happening, and certainly I think what we've seen from the president is an eagerness to get out and about. He's going to be in Michigan later this week. He's getting all across the country. I think he's shown that he's got the energy and he's ready to take this on. I don't foresee any change in this race, and the president and the vice president have my full support. At the end of the day, I am an ordinary person in an extraordinary role, serving during an extraordinary time, and staying focused, finding the good in any situation, and running to the fire, I think, are some of the lessons that have sustained me.
I really like Governor Whitmer. I mean, all of those things. Love how she's, Joe Biden has the receipts. Yes, he does. And that she respects the conversation that's happening. I mean, those are the right things to be saying by the governor. And I also like this incredibly humble statement. I'm an ordinary person in an extraordinary role in extraordinary times. Just a question. Can anybody hear that coming out of Donald Trump's mouth?
Nope.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian. Matt from Middleton weighing in. I don't get it. Joe has done a good job and Trump can't even read, for gosh sake. We've already had handicapped leaders and a very popular Republican president that had Alzheimer's. That's Ronald Reagan, of course. Kennedy had, I forget the name of the disease, but it was a degenerative, uncurable disorder. Matt continues, I feel bad for our president. He doesn't deserve the hate. I think it's because of our fear. Stakes are high with Trump and what's to come. That's a really interesting point, Matt. I do think that there's something to be said about the overall anxiety level amongst Democrats right now, which brings me back to the first thing that I said. Don't make decisions when you're in a panic and your brain is flooded with all kinds of hormones and things like that that aren't the best for making really rational decisions. I think the Democratic Party is in an agitated state. I think that's why this is such a big deal. A texter from the 414 has this to say. Joe has to go. His mental and physical decline makes our country look weak. That's interesting. We need a leader who can clearly articulate a vision. I agree that Democrats have been awful with succession planning. Thank you. Time to shake things up with some young blood. Hear, hear. From the 608, I think what the person was trying to say is, I've got no problem with our Vice President Kamala Harris if she needs to step up. If I didn't trust her to step forward, if something happened to Biden, I wouldn't have voted for Biden in the first place. Hear, hear, from our good friend.
And yep, I got to bring up something that Earl said a couple days ago in an interview.
Yeah.
If you didn't think that Kamala Harris could do the job, that's your fault for putting her there in the first place. You know what I mean? Like, I think she can do the job. I think she's great. But if the Dems are complaining and we need to get rid of her, maybe you should have thought about that, I don't know, 4 years ago.
Well, my opinion is if Joe steps back, it has to be Vice President Harris. Must. No option.
That's the whole point of the entire thing.
Correct. That's what running mates and vice presidents are for. She would take over the mantle of the party. And I, for one, think that Kamala Harris is ready and would be an absolutely transformational president in ways that I think would fundamentally help set our country on a new arc. And that, to me, would be thrilling and incredibly humbling to live in that moment. And she whatever one may say about Kamala Harris, one cannot, with a straight face or with any allegiance to the truth, make an argument that that woman is not incredibly smart, incredibly fast thinking. I would be excited to see that. There's no question. You want to get in on that conversation? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842 from the 262. Biden needs our support more than ever. Let's talk about the felon, please. I've been kind of apoplectic about this whole thing all along, that, again, here's Democrats arguing amongst ourselves, right? Having this really existential discussion, holding ourselves to a standard, while meanwhile, back at the ranch, the rapist, fraudster, 34 times convicted felon, sleeps with porn stars, liar, Putin friend, fan of authoritarianism, dictator on day one. No, the Republicans are like, well, that man's unfit, even though it takes me, I would need both hands, both feet, and an extra couple pairs to number all of the former Trump administration officials who have said he is unfit to lead. Trump, unfit for the office, mentally. From a psychological point of view, the man might not stumble over his words, but he is. The stream of consciousness is a scary, scary place. And he's unfit also in that he will use it to enrich and empower himself and the billionaire class. Period. We know this. A $5 trillion tax cut for the most wealthy corporations and people in this country. And by the way, I've heard this a few times, like, Joe Biden got rid of Trump's tax cuts and raised everybody's taxes. No. Joe Biden got rid of the tax cuts for people making over $400,000 a year. If that's you, then reach around, pat yourself on the back and say, I'm rich.
Boy, would that be horrible to have those problems? My goodness.
I feel so bad
about that.
Hey, you want to get in a lower tax bracket and not see your taxes go up? Brian and I are taking donations. I'm kidding. The FCC, do not get mad at me. That is sarcasm.
Yeah, but if you do want to prove how rich you are, please leave $5,000 in my hand and walk away like you don't care.
Right?
I will believe that you are so rich.
We're going to take a few callers when we get back. Everybody stay put. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. News, weather, and sports are next. And then Fancy Brian and I will be back.
Fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. The New Mexico judge in the involuntary manslaughter trial of Alec Baldwin has dismissed the charges, saying prosecutors deliberately withheld evidence. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson tells us it cannot be retried.
This case is over for Alec Baldwin, and it's over because the prosecutors didn't play by the rules.
President Biden is working to regain lost ground in battleground states, appearing at a rally in Detroit, Michigan, Friday evening.
I promise you, I give you my word as a Biden, I'll always have your back. Because you've always had mine.
Biden insisted he will stay in the race. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky appealed to the nation's governors Friday to continue supporting his country under attack from Russia.
To save our freedom and thus the common human understanding that evil must always, always lose.
Zelensky spoke before the governors in Salt Lake City at their annual summer meeting. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Brewers upset by the Nationals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing to the Washington Nationals last night, 5-2 to AmFam Field in Milwaukee. The Nationals able to snap a five-game losing streak. Brewers right-hander Freddie Peralta struggled, giving up 4 runs on 10 hits through 5 innings. Manager Pat Murphy after the loss.
I mean, I think Freddie made a few mistakes, but I thought generally he threw the ball good. And, you know, they just lost 5 in a row, so they're kind of hungry to win, and they put some balls in play. And, yeah, and their starter did a nice job to keep us at bay.
The Nationals' Jackson Rutledge held Milwaukee to just 3 hits on 2 walks over 4 2/3 innings in his first ever Major League start. A familiar face, Jesse Winker, who struggled last year with the Brewers, crushed a home run 403 feet to right center field, his 11th home run of the year. He also drove in a run with an RBI double. Elsewhere, the Cubs beat the Cardinals 5-1 in St. Louis. Chicago's now won 5 in a row. The Reds got past the Marlins 7-4. Pirates over the White Sox 4-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight with a low in the low 60s. For the weekend, partly sunny, a few storms, some could be strong, hot and humid with highs upper 80s to 90. After another warm day Monday and a chance of storms, temperatures cool considerably, 70s for highs for the rest of next week. Currently, it's 66.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Some researchers have explored the impact of melatonin-enriched milk on sleep because it comes from cows milked at night.
Ooh.
Night milk has been shown to improve symptoms of insomnia in some people.
Night milk. We should try some night milk.
Night milk. Yeah.
I would love to actually talk to somebody who actually does this. If this is like a new avenue for milk growers.
How about
milk
that?
Producers, I should say.
Yep.
Milk doesn't grow on trees. I learned that when I was 20.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on Locally Grown Radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
So I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of it, my son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep
go
it
ahead.
Clean.
Thanks. That's really
you
nice.
Are one master whacker. I'll tell you
thanks.
That.
That's, wow, that's unbelievable.
Really impressive.
You Hollywood types.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Republican National Convention gets underway. We talked to Greg Treverton from National Security Leaders for America about the ramifications of a possible Trump second term.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Actually, I believe this is Jaimin Hansu dancing on a giant Tylenol.
Oh, okay, good. Either way.
He's a well-put-together man.
Oh, yeah. Either way, Brian and I will be here with you all to discuss the issues of the day and today yet again. Talking about Joe, should he stay or should he go? Jerry Nadler also made some comments. Let's take a quick listen. I've got a bit of historical context, and then I want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Then I'm going to be rolling on to the Supreme Court's ruling on drop boxes, some really interesting factoids. And I'm also going to touch on the decision that dropped, I think, early this morning or late last night. I can't, everything's, again, no sense of time.
It's all the same.
About the coalition to march on the RNC 2024 and their lawsuit suing the RNC, the Secret Service, the city of Milwaukee to be able to enter the hard perimeter to protest. Federal District Court Judge Brett Luttig rejecting that. I know Brett had a case before him. I'll tell you all about it. But I want to close this loop. Let's listen to Jerry Nadler, what he had to say earlier today.
The president, yesterday made it very clear he's running. I'm fully supportive of him. I plan to campaign for him, and it's essential that he win. He made very clear yesterday that he's running.
And only he can make this decision to step aside.
Well, that's also true. So at this point, he's the best candidate. He's the only candidate.
So that's Jerry Nadler. What do you think? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're also going to be giving away two sets of Brewers tickets today. Very excited about that. We'll do a little Brewers trivia. Always a good way to give them away. Congrats to Lynn from Oconomowoc who won yesterday's tickets. Here are some facts. There are two prior presidents that could have run for a second term and that stepped back and didn't. In modern history. Okay. Lyndon Baines Johnson and Harry S. Truman. Okay. Truman in 1952. LBJ in 68. Both times this happened, those incumbent presidents stepped down in March of the election year. It's not March, just say.
It seems to be further along than March. Mm-hmm. Although technology has sped up such that we might be able to
different.
We should probably do it earlier.
Also, both had terrible New Hampshire primaries those years, just as a point of fact. Now, Joe Biden didn't really have any primary competition. We can discuss at a different time why that's not great. But when he did have a primary in 2020, he came in fifth in New Hampshire. Again, some weird historical analogies. Came in fourth in Iowa, which was the first primary. Fifth in New Hampshire, which was the second primary. Second in Nevada. And then Biden went on to have that huge win in South Carolina, to refresh everyone's recollection. So you should be asking yourselves, Maggie, tell me, what happened when Truman and LBJ decided to step back? Both of their parties lost the White House in the general.
Huh.
Interesting. Truman lost it to Republican Dwight D. Eisenhower. LBJ lost it to Republican Richard Nixon.
You're talking about that lefty communist Eisenhower?
Yeah.
With his platform that I would have voted for in a second?
Yeah. So, again, history matters. So I just wanted to share that with you. Let us go to the phones. My very patient callers. Tom from L.A., welcome back to the show. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Hey, Maggie. What I'd love to see the media start doing, because I think it's got to be tagged on him, is every time they say the word Donald Trump or Trump, the word lying has to come before. He needs, because everything he's saying, especially now with Project 2025, oh, I don't know anything about it. Dude, every time your lips move, you're lying. That's the bottom line.
The Heritage Foundation, I mean, this is reporting today from the Journal Sentinel in Milwaukee. The Heritage Foundation has a massive footprint at the RNC. Like, the Heritage Foundation are the, you know, the nerds behind the screen. Like, think Wizard of Oz, right? The man behind the curtain. Like, that is the Heritage Foundation. Donald Trump is the big wizard with all the smoke and things. Go ahead, Tom. Sorry.
Aren't they connected to the Koch brothers and the Bradley Foundation and all of those fine organizations?
The Heritage Foundation funding is largely undisclosed, but it is widely known that these massive billionaire donors, the Elines, Koch brothers, Bradleys, have basically stood up the Heritage Foundation and really made it the mega force that it is today. There is no separation, Tom, to your point, between Donald Trump and Project 2025. None, zero, zippo, zilch.
Absolutely. And the thing is, we just need to be saying lying Donald Trump. Lying Donald Trump. So they have a fact checker right there. That's fine. But otherwise, he's lying Donald Trump. Let's also remember, and these are facts, Trump rapes little girls and women. The Giselle Maxwell files, as well as what happened in court not that long ago. He steals classified U.S. intel. He steals from charities. He steals elections. He tries to overthrow governments. He intimidates, bribes witnesses. He launders money. He's a convicted felon. But Biden stutters. So I guess that's probably, you know, not a good thing when Biden stutters. Or getting older and therefore can't put the sentences out of his mouth as quickly as it could before.
I hear you, Tom. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. I just want to say this. There's no court that has concluded that Donald Trump had sexual relations with a minor. There have been allegations, but I just, for purposes of having fidelity to facts and proven facts, but as if it wasn't bad enough, he's just a rapist. I mean, did I just have to say that?
Uh-huh.
Nah, yeah.
But it's all the same on both sides. So everyone does it on both sides. So I assume that Donald Trump can't speak and he stutters too, because both sides do it, right? It's all both sides.
Mm. Or not. Gene from Eau Claire, what do you have to say this afternoon?
Hi. Well, I wish he'd stop the charade, but you know, there's a variety of groups that are against Donald Trump, and a lot of them are former Republicans, and they want to vote blue because they want their party back, and they will never get it back from Donald J. Trump. There's Republican voters against Trump, the Lincoln Project, Bulwark, and then they even got legal groups, Sisters-in-Law, the Midas Touch group,
yep.
Glenn Kirshner, Brian Tyler Cohen. And to me, you know, I see a lot of it on YouTube. I watch you guys, too. You look great. I hope people get a chance to see you. Anyway, there's a lot of these people, you know, now they, you can, a lot of them will allow comments. Yeah. And there's a lot of people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s that totally support Biden, and they don't take polls. There's a lot of people who are not taking polls anymore.
Yes.
And it's significant. There's even a new group that a Republican woman is starting for conservative women against Trump. Mm. So I think, and they support Biden. They've come out now all over the place. We support Joe Biden. So if they're just going to consider Democrats, you need to think about the independents and all others who despise what is happening in our country, and they don't want this to go any further. So I hope they use their head, because this is ridiculous.
I hear you, Jeannie, and totally agree. Again, I'm going to harken back to what we talked about yesterday, which is this completely unpredicted landslide in France and in Britain, away from that scary, authoritarian, xenophobic, racist right. No one was predicting that in either country. And people who were previously, I think, unengaged, I don't know what's the exact term I should use here, started coming out of the woodwork and say, I don't want my country to become a dictatorship. I don't think presidents should be kings. I think women are equal to men and should be so under the law. I mean, let's take these points together for a moment, shall we? You take Donald Trump is Project 2025. Project 2025 is national ban on abortion time, okay? Now, the Republicans finally came out with a platform yesterday. I'm going to talk about it in detail tomorrow. But they, quote, softened their stance on abortion. Now it's all states' rights. By the way, states' rights used to be code for, well, let the states determine if people should be enslaved. Now that's a lie. Lying Trump, lying Republican Party. If you think that there is any separation between the Christian nationalist abortion banning right wing and Donald Trump or the Republican National Committee, you're fooling yourself. And they're doing this. It's a knowing and wanton lie by the campaign, by the RNC, to try to slip one past women and those who care about women. Sickening. Lying Trump indeed, Tom. Troy from Mount Horeb, what do you have to say this afternoon?
You know, we're not giving President Biden a chance, because we keep coming out here every single day. Biden's an idiot. Biden's babbling. Biden's this. Biden's that. And we're not giving him a chance, because we're telling independents. See, I just misspoke. Now I can't be president. But
you and me both.
We're telling. Yeah, no kidding. We're telling independents that, you know, he can't do the job. Well, he can do the job, and he's been doing a great job. And we need to get behind him and stop all this nonsense.
I agree. Thank you so much, Troy. Keep listening. Keep calling. I remain in a mindset and a position that unless we are certain that we can move forward with Kamala Harris and win, the message has to get tightened up here. You know, has anybody heard anything about Donald Trump, the lying Donald Trump, in the last couple of days? Wow. No, he's been golfing. Legit, everybody. Donald Trump has gone golfing for the last 9 days. Every day for the last 9 days.
That must take a lot of stamina.
Golfing. Let's stop doing the work of Republicans for them. Lying Republicans, lying Donald Trump. Their garbage platform when they're just the handmaiden of Project 2025. Over it. Texter from the 608 saying this. Biden will give his last days on earth for America and for the middle class. He is a patriot. I agree. Would Donald Trump do the same? No. No. No, he wouldn't. We're going to take our quick breath. We'll be right back. He's Brian Kelly. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
Andrew Klon, he is a data journalist, and he maps out in this article what makes Wisconsin great. 96% of Wisconsinites live within 30 minutes of Quick Trip.
Wisconsin is one of those places that has a cultural identity that's unique to this place. And when we tell stories like this, it reminds people that we all come from this place and we all share a goal, genuinely, of trying to make this state a better place.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko, deliberative dialogue and democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Mark from Prairie to Sac, what do you have to share this afternoon?
Yeah, we have to hammer home on Project 2025 and everything that's in it, because included in Project 25, I think, is getting rid of Social Security, radically changing Medicare and Medicaid, that the whole host of issues. It just fascinates me that this... these people involved, the religious right in this country, fail to comprehend the fact that for most of them, their views in the terms of the time of the Puritans, what they supposedly want to roll our nation back to, most of them would be considered heretical, and they'd be hung if they showed up in Puritan New England and spouted some of the views that they have, like the Quakers and the Baptists did when they tried to reform the churches of that time. I mean, that we have to keep a complete separation of church and state, period. And as far as for the immigration issue, I just happened to flip and open my handy copy of the Federalist Papers. It's got the Constitution and the Articles of Confederation. One of our beefs against the King of England was he refused to assent to sensible immigration laws to allow immigrants to come into this country and have a process of naturalization for those immigrants to make them citizens of our new nation.
But today... rampant xenophobia and racism, the brand of the 2024 GOP.
What a wonderful time to be alive. And you know what? Those Puritans, must be said, they were too stuck up for England. And so people in England were like, how about you stuck up people leave? And they were like, let's get on a boat and start a new land. And we can take over a brand new land with not one person here that lives here already.
And Brian's point is even the stuck up Puritans recognized that we need a naturalization process and a set of immigration laws that work. Joe Biden put one of those forward. Donald Trump killed it. Don't let anybody fool you. Those Dems to facts. Kurt from Madison saying this, when we stop eating our own? When will you stop becoming mindless drones to the media outlets? Kurt, thank you for the feedback. Not trying to do that. I think I've made my opinion pretty clear over the last week or so. But my job isn't to stifle issues or ignore them. It's to try to foster a discussion of the actual issues that are going on. Jeff from Shorewood saying, I'm behind Joe. It might harbor some hope that the VP would solidify some of the black vote as well as disaffected Democrats who are mad about Mr. Biden, specifically regarding Palestine. Perhaps that is enough in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, and maybe a couple more. In the interests of having a fulsome discussion, I wanted to share with you this development. I have been concerned about the legalities of Joe Biden stepping down, right? And whether or not someone else could be placed on the ballot, specifically in the states of Wisconsin, Georgia, and Nevada. I have spoken to a couple of election law experts here in the state of Wisconsin. And what I have found out is this. Wisconsin law doesn't state that there cannot be a substitution of candidate. And remember that both the DNC and the RNC, these are private entities who set their own rules. Meaning, at the DNC in August, the rules could be reformed, revised, to permit another candidate to come forward. What state law in the state of Wisconsin says is it specifically says you can replace a candidate if the primary candidate dies. And it specifically ties that to the post-convention formal nomination, formal placement, formal deadline for placement on the ballot, which isn't until September. What this expert told me was that accordingly, state law is silent as to whether a presumptive nominee under the private rules of a party committee, so the DNC here, could decide to forward a different candidate. Again, the deadline for ballot placement is not in the state of Wisconsin until September. So remember yesterday when I was pounding the table and saying, we can't place Wisconsin in jeopardy. If there's questions about this, that ends the issue. Of course, I wanted to research that more because it matters. And I did. And what I'm being told is that that is an overstatement, that it seems to be very clear or at least permissive under Wisconsin law. And remember, under the federal constitution, states get to determine how federal elections are administered within the state, to wit, Wisconsin and Wisconsin only, including our Supreme Court, gets to determine under our laws, and the Supreme Court gets to interpret our laws to determine whether or not if the DNC selected, say, Kamala Harris, whether they could place her on the ballot. A texter from the 608 asking, where can we find the details of Project 2025? Legit, just Google it. I also have decided what I will be talking about and in what order for the remainder of the week. Tomorrow, I will be discussing the RNC platform. Thursday, I will be talking about Project 2025 and as well as on that day, the VP Olympics. That's going to be a big one. That's a hoot nanny. You're not going to want to miss the Maggie Dodd Show.
They have such amazing, great leadership. Their bench is so full of great dog killers and embezzlers and
guys with
just
beards.
Great people that yell a lot, that hated Donald Trump, but now have sold their soul to him.
So I've now shared with you my new understanding, a new love for Wisconsin law and the fact that it will permit substitution of, say, Vice President Harris for President Biden on the ticket. And next, after our top of the hour news, I'm going to tell you about the Supreme Court decision on another critical election matter, ballot drop boxes, and why everything every Republican is saying about it is totally hypocritical. They vote by mail. Drop boxes are more secure than voting. But it's all lies. The lying GOP, the lying RNC, the lying liar Trump.
Yeah, but everybody does that, right?
Yeah, so it's fine, right? He's Brian Kelly. I'm Maggie Dawn. Do not go anywhere. Your news is next, and then...
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
Monday night, we will stream live on Facebook, X, and YouTube from 7 to 8 p.m. during the RNC and be back on the air live from 8 to 9 p.m., where we welcome the master of radio magic, Gizmo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always